And this is one of the things that we're very focused on with the students who come through a Global Citizen here is helping young people find their compass. Because when you have a compass, you don't need a map. And when you're following a map, it's probably somebody else's map or path. And so it's about honing your intuition, recognizing the questions that you carry, the things you can't not do something about, the issues that break your heart, understanding how you can find your own teachers. And they may not have been assigned to you. They're the people who have been where you want to go. And there's a magnetic draw to learning something from them. How do you shape your own syllabus, find your teachers, define your questions?
Welcome back to Paths to Purpose. Thanks again for joining us this week. We are shifting gears a little bit in this week's episode. We usually talk a lot about kind of the college experience and the early career experience with our guests. But this week, we are shifting towards the gap between high school and college and that transition. Alan, do you want to talk a little bit about why we've decided to talk about gap years today?
Yeah, I've worked with students who are coming out of high schools or into transition to university life. They tend to look outward for affirmation, and they tend to look for brand to validate sense of self-worth. And they're looking at a herding instinct where all my friends are applying for school X, I need to get in there too. And if I get waitlisted or rejected, then I'm somehow less worthy or something like that. And I think it generates a lot of mental health issues. And I think a sense of purpose can also help in considering which institution is best fit for me, what projects at that institution do I want to learn, and then which school is best available to provide the kind of learning I want and the mentors I want. And some of that learning can be done with time and with the ability to kind of process of that. And so I had learned about this particular gap year program and had explored it for my own children. And I thought that this would be worth kind of bringing into this particular concept that we have here.
Yeah, I think that Abby is going to speak to kind of the accessibility of this program too today, and just how this program can be for anyone. It's not just for people that are really privileged and think that they want to spend a year traveling or something like that. This idea of a gap year is so much more meaningful, and we're going to explore that now. So without further ado, let's get into our interview with Abby. This week, we are joined by Abby Falick. Abby is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year, a nonprofit using the power of a global immersion between high school and college to unlock curiosity, conviction, and courage in our next generation leaders. Abby has been profiled by the New York Times, the Washington Post, NPR, the Chronicle of Higher Education, and has been featured in prominent forums from the PBS NewsHour to the Goldman Sachs Builders and Innovators Summit, and has been recognized by thought leaders including Katie Couric, Nicholas Kristof, and Dan Pink. In 2019, she was named one of Goldman Sachs's 100 most intriguing entrepreneurs. In 2018, The Business of Giving selected her as one of America's top 25 philanthropy speakers. And in 2016, Fast Company honored her as one of the 100 most creative people in business. For her achievements as a social entrepreneur, she has been recognized as an Ashoka Fellow, a Mind Trust Fellow, and a Draper Richards Kaplan Entrepreneur. Abby, welcome to Paths to Purpose, and thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you so much. I'm really delighted to be here. And I have to say, I have all kinds of internal reactions sitting here and hearing that bio read. I'm just so aware of what it doesn't say about my actual experience, about my journey, about the things that I would most want people to know about me. And I think it gets to the heart of why we're having this conversation and why the work you're doing is so important, which is we've got all these external labels and credentials that serve a purpose. But ultimately, how do we help young people dissociate from those kind of extrinsic motivators? So I just had to call out that tension before we got started.
Oh, thank you so much for doing that. We're really excited to kind of hear your story and unwrap some of those things today. So maybe we can start there. And can you talk a bit about what you do currently and kind of your path to getting to where you are now?
Yes. Well, I'll start by saying, in hopes that for young people who might be listening, there's no such thing as a straight line in thinking about our careers and how our lives unfold. And when I welcome our fellows at Global Citizen Year each fall as they begin their year, I put up a slide or talking point that says, it may sound like I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I was 18. And in hindsight and in reality, it doesn't look like the dots all sort of connected from there. It's this roundabout where I've learned as much from the disappointments and failures and things I've tried that haven't worked as I have from the things that did break through. And I say that because I think so much of our job is to debunk this idea that people who have achieved some success that we admire or want to emulate have had an easier, straightforward path. And I think often about the, I think it's a Steve Jobs attribution quote from a commencement address, but that when we look backward, the dots do connect. But sitting from where we are looking forward, they never do, and they shouldn't, and they couldn't. And I've got this quote that somebody just shared with me on my desk right now. It says, if the path is clear, you're on someone else's. So I try to remember that. In many ways, you know, my journey when I finished high school, I was so tired from being a good student and checking the boxes and getting myself into college and feeling like there is so much I want to learn about myself in the world that cannot be taught in a classroom. And nobody is encouraging me to take some time to figure those things out before I file along like an excellent sheep from high school straight to college. And in many ways, ever since, I've been fixated on this totally overlooked developmental transition where everything is still in formation, where a young person has the maturity to leave home, but they haven't fixed their values and identity. And where if we take this year and do it by design, not default, on purpose, we can help young people awaken a sense of purpose before they take their next steps.
I just got chills when you said that. I think that's so important. And I kind of would just like to hear more about how you came up with the idea for Global Citizen Year and what was your experience like that you maybe, did you do a gap year? Did you have a time in your life where you thought if I built this for other people, it would have this really lasting impact on their trajectory, not only in a career, but as a human being?
When I finished high school and desperately wanted to find something like Global Citizen Year and couldn't, that was the first seed that dropped. I think of entrepreneurship as a slow cook, not sort of one lightning strike epiphany, but that was the first intuition around this. I looked around and, you know, the military will take you when you're 18, or there are religious missions you can join. There are also cultures and countries around the world that are much more deliberate about this life stage, the cusp of adulthood where everything is possible. And in the US in particular, we just fly by it as though there's nothing to attend to there. And so really that was the original kind of notion, was I wanted it, couldn't find it. I ended up going straight to school. I went to Stanford and spent 2 years on campus and got to a place where I was just too antsy to keep showing up in the lecture hall. I felt like I've got to test some of this in the real world to see what really makes sense to me and what sticks and why I'm here. So I spent a year outside of the classroom and not in any kind of study abroad or formal program. I was living and working in Brazil and Nicaragua. And that year was the most foundational part of my learning and the most important and influential part of my education, but it had nothing to do with my formal education. And when I came back to school, I remember petitioning for that year of experience to count for credit, and somehow found a way that they gave it to me. I showed that I'd learned new languages and wrote a thing about what I'd learned about myself and the world. And I think that was sort of the next seed that dropped, which was, I am approaching the end of my college experience. I wish I'd had the purpose and focus and confidence I have now sooner so that I could have taken advantage of this experience out of the gate. And so why do we wait till a junior year to send kids abroad? And what happens if we could put that kind of formative experience at the front end of a college career, but in a deliberate, accessible, and formalized way? So ever since, my life's been oriented around how do we make this happen at scale?
So Abby, thanks for sharing that. I love this particular initiative. In fact, my daughter was planning on attending this initiative. So I have several questions for you. One is, can you speak a little bit to the societal expectations that lead people, I think using your words, like sheep into college? What is it about that? And how is it that your program works against those headwinds?
We are defining success too narrowly, and we're missing the point of living a fulfilling, purpose-driven life. And I've heard you both talk about this as well. High school has become a high stakes game to get into a famous college. And I like to call them famous colleges because that's really what they're known for, is their brand and their selectivity, though we could also know them for their rejectivity. Somebody just said rate. Their rejection rate is really what they're proud of. And we're sort of sifting and sorting people based on a very narrow set of qualifications that have to do with how well did you play the school game? And, you know, how did you test? And frankly, it also reflects how much access to wealth and privilege did you have to then be able to prepare yourself to get into these schools? And so we need a total reimagination of the sort of systems and structures that are helping prepare young people for what comes next. And it's very unlikely to happen in the traditional sort of K-12 to college conveyor belt style system.
So what kind of students are actually actively seeking out this experience? And then also, are there other students you'd like to reach that you can't?
I think we're on the cusp of a sea change where historically taking a year, quote, off, and I put it in quotes because it's really not off. It could be the year that fills in the gaps left by the other parts of your education. It's been the exception, not the norm. It's been something historically that's accessible to kids who come from privileged backgrounds, and there's not necessarily an orientation around sort of a purposeful learning journey as much as it could be about taking a break or having an adventure. And I believe, so the students who have found Global Citizen Year and joined us in our first decade are the pioneers. They are young people who are not satisfied by the status quo. They recognize that they have a certain amount of agency and they're just hungry to get in the driver's seat of their own learning. And with any new idea and societal shift, you start with the people who are sort of the early movers, and then you move on to the next set of people who will follow them. And I think we're approaching that stage of this social change where it used to be that you had FOMO if you took a year off. You had a fear of missing out or getting behind. And I think in the next couple of years, we're going to start to see that flip where you're afraid of missing out if you go straight to college. You are afraid of getting behind if you stay on the track. And so we need to sort of flip it to see that it's not going to disadvantage you. It's actually the greatest advantage you can give a student or yourself is by having an experience that helps plant a sense of purpose before you take your next steps. And somebody makes that massive investment in your higher education.
I think when I think of a gap year, my first thought goes to when I did my master's degree in the UK, and I had friends from all over the world, and some of them just casually talked about gap years, and I hadn't heard of them before. When I went to college, I started college in 2013 even, and no one from Kansas, where I grew up, was talking about doing gap years. And they talked about these trips that they had gone on, and I was like, that's incredible, but to get back to your accessibility point, I thought, I don't know if I could have afforded that or done that. So can you kind of talk about how accessible is Global Citizen Year if you don't maybe come from a background where you can spend tons of money traveling the world or something like that?
We are set up as a not-for-profit on purpose so that we can focus on selecting the most determined, hopeful, inspiring, committed young people we can find independent of their family's financial circumstance. Historically, 80% of our participants have received need-based financial aid. 50% receive a full scholarship. And this is, you know, these are students who are then Pell Grant eligible when they get to college. More than 50% self-identify as people of color. So it's a very different demographic than what we traditionally associate with study abroad, travel programs, gap year programs. And we've done that on purpose. And part of what we're trying to do is lead by example to say, this is only worth undertaking as a world-changing project if we can center equity, because just continuing to invest in life-changing and essential learning experiences for a set of students who've already had access and opportunity. This is life-changing for all of them, no question. But if we value that for some set of kids or our own kids, it's on us to actually make the investment to make it accessible to all kids.
So you had also previously suggested that this experience would help or did help provide a sense of purpose. Can you explain a little bit on how, what's the experience like? What kind of purpose could materialize from this kind of experience?
So Global Citizen Year historically has run a fellowship. It's quite selective at the front end, but we don't look for test scores and grades. We're looking for a spark of leadership potential for kids who've made the most of where they've started. They've been resourceful in building something from scratch and inspiring other young people to follow their lead. And the fellowship model was an 8-month full-time deep immersion where you live alongside the global majority in communities in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. You live with a family, you work as what we call an apprentice, advancing local project in education, the environment, public health. And it's wrapped with a curriculum, a cohort, and a coach that help you make sense of your lived experience. And a year ago in the spring of 2020, we were clear that we couldn't responsibly send young people around the world in our fellowship. And so our team changed directions to launch our next experiential offering, which is called Global Citizen Year Academy, which initially was a pandemic pivot. And now it's very much a part of the path and our plan for scaling well beyond the number of students who we were able to accommodate in the fellowship. The Academy is a part-time wraparound that students who are traveling, working, studying can layer on top of the other things that they're doing. It's an intensive leadership experience that's delivered virtually, and you join, you enroll for 5 hours a week in a synchronous course on leadership. We call it Leadership as a Practice. You're paired up with a mentor for coaching. You join a speakers series where you get to ask questions of Melinda Gates and Sundar Pichai and Wes Moore and Ray McKesson to really understand that leadership paths are circuitous, and to see that the people that we most look up to and want to present as role models are purpose-driven leaders, and they might be in positions across sectors and industries. So all of that comes together into our experience of the Academy, and I think both paths are now unlocking purpose in ways that classroom learning alone can't.
Want to go? Can I go? It sounds incredible. I kind of want to turn back to your story though a little bit more. And I would love to kind of hear when you were building this out, how did you kind of ground yourself in your vision and what kind of, I don't know if you used any mindfulness or introspection tools to kind of keep yourself in check when you were had this vision and this idea of a really impactful body of work that you wanted to, you know, change the lives of all these young people. How did you stay connected to yourself and move this work forward?
Well, it's not a past tense in any way. It's very much a present tense, sort of how do I continue to stay connected to myself? And I look back and recognize when I was in college, I had a folder on my desktop computer that was called Master Plan. And I would have been mortified if anybody had looked over my shoulder in the library and seen it. But it was a place where I was dragging and dropping things that somehow felt relevant to what I was here for. And so it would be a conversation I had with a person who really lit me up, or something I'd read in a class, a case study, an audio piece, but things that somehow felt like this is helping me find my direction. These are the things that give me energy. And I say it because, and this is one of the things that we're very focused on with the students who come through a Global Citizen here, is helping young people find their compass. Because when you have a compass, you don't need a map. And when you're following a map, it's probably somebody else's map or path. And so it's about honing your intuition, recognizing the questions that you carry, the things you can't not do something about, the issues that break your heart, understanding how you can find your own teachers. And they may not have been assigned to you. They're the people who have been where you want to go. And there's a magnetic draw to learning something from them. How do you shape your own syllabus, find your teachers, define your questions? And I would say being able to articulate that now comes from having practiced it sloppily for many years on my own, but now really codifying it into something that we both teach and train to our staff and team and all of the students in our network. But it's also what I'm working on every day of my life.
That was such an elegant way to articulate what we've been trying to articulate throughout this entire series. Can you speak a little bit to the impact in those who have participated? How has it affected them?
I can speak a lot to the impact. We have about 1,500 students who've had different experiences with us. And we, you know, track them with data and crunch the numbers. We've worked with academic teams at Stanford and Harvard both. And we see significant gains in confidence, self-awareness, self-efficacy, resilience, grit, sense of purpose, which we're delighted by. And I would say even more gratifying to me are the relationships that I've developed. I, you know, have alums who are 10 years out from the program who look back and can articulate so beautifully that their Global Citizen Year was the pivotal moment. It was the experience that shaped who they wanted to become, how they wanted to live, how they would fashion a higher education toward their passions and interests. And I watch them living on purpose. We care less about what position you inhabit at what company or organization and much more about how you show up. I think the distinction between the nonprofit world and other sectors is it's all blurring as it needs to. I, you know, as a side note, anticipate there'll be a day when you'd be ashamed to call yourself a for-profit operation as though that's the only thing you care about. I mean, these need to be for-purpose entities. That's what we need across all sectors. And so when students come to me and say, you know, I want to pursue a career in nonprofit work, I step back and say, well, what do you really mean by that? Let's figure out, let's tease out what you care about, what skills you bring, what impact you want to have. But I don't know, the tax status of the organization doesn't need to be the primary decision point. So it's anecdotes and it's evidence that show us this kind of experience changes young lives in ways the world needs most.
So a lot of people with whom I've worked have this false sense, I believe it's a false sense, that if you work in a traditional nonprofit, which I agree with you should be called a for purpose, but if you work in that space, then there is no financial gain to that. And I was wondering whether you could speak a little bit to the financial security elements of being involved with a project that actually is meaningful.
No, it's a total trade-off. I mean, it's a trade-off that every human needs to assess on their own terms. And you know, I think there are certain jobs that are soul sucking where you can try as hard as you want to bring purpose to it, but if you're making money blindly for someone else or, you know, a cause you don't care about or something that's sort of extracting value from the world, ultimately that's not going to feel super satisfying. And so it's, you know, it's, I don't think we do a service to young people by saying like, oh, you, I sometimes feel like the, you can do well and do good at the same time. It's tricky, right? Because there are lots of ways you could make more money, but I think it's really about stepping back and saying, well, what matters to me ultimately, if I've got one life to live and a family to support, how do I balance the parts? I went to business school ultimately, and having no interest in business and not knowing anybody who'd been to business school, but I felt like that was the training that I wanted in order to launch and lead a high impact venture. And I'm really struck by how out am I, whatever it is, 15 years or so, I think, looking back at classmates who had lots of job security coming out of school and had sort of filed along to the recruiters who showed up on campus, who didn't consider jobs that were not in the job bank, who saw what I was doing as this kind of wild leap of faith to go and start a nonprofit venture from scratch. And many of them now come to me asking for advice about how to make a transition towards something more purposeful. And I just hope we can change the paradigm so that it's not the 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds pausing to say, how do I reorient around purpose? But if we can actually plant that seed at 18, everything flows from there. And frankly, that's what we need Gen Z oriented around if we're going to solve our global challenges. You know, the brightest minds and highest talent are being recruited to optimize click rates at, you know, on Google ads, which is just, it's not just sad, it's actually tragic. It is at our collective expense that we are not orienting the highest talent toward the causes that need the most innovative, creative, dot-connecting insights. And so that's what we're on a mission to change.
I love everything that you just said. I wanted to kind of ask about mental health as it relates to the work that you do, because thinking back to the person I was when I was 18 and in college, I had so much anxiety based off of everything that you just talked about security. And I had gone to college pretty soon after the 2008 financial crisis. And the focus when I was in college was find something secure, find something that you can have for your entire life. Don't think about purpose, think about only that security element. And that created a lot of anxiety for me. And even in my first job, my first corporate job after my master's degree, having that moment of, what am I doing? Who am I investing my time in? All of those things. I'm imagining when you have these students coming into your program for that first year, there's kind of, I would imagine, an element of anxiety and just like, what am I doing? How can I become this person? And how do you work through that with them? And what does your program kind of do to help mitigate that?
Yeah, I really appreciate the question. And I think it's time to destigmatize conversations around mental health, especially given how it's prevalence, right? There are probably more young people who suffer from some kind of mental health challenge than who don't, and probably true of adults as well. And it's something I've tried to lead out loud on for my own challenges with anxiety as well. As I heard you talk about the pressures around choosing something that feels more secure, I think the irony of that is that ultimately that's the least secure way to make decisions. It's the most volatile and precarious, is to sort of hitch your own well-being and sense of self to something external to us. And I think the more important lesson to learn is that everything is changing all the time. The other part of my story about, so I graduated from business school in 2008. And so as my classmates filed off into these very stable seeming jobs, but between June and then December of that year, many of them no longer had a job offer. And it had seemed like the safe path, but in reality, the world changes. COVID has certainly shown us all that nothing we assumed to be true was stable or fixed. And so I think the most important thing we can help young people do is develop a more intimate and compassionate relationship with themselves, an ability to ride the waves as they come, a trust and an intuition that you know what your compass is, you know what your values are, and the waves will come and you can navigate because you believe in yourself, you know yourself. And I think by focusing on these external credentials and validators that we've been talking about this whole time, it's often at the expense of turning the vision inwardly to sort of map your internal landscape. Because frankly, and there's a lot of fear in the tension between those two things. Because I think if a lot of young people pause to say, do I really want to take this job at Goldman Sachs? Like if you ask why do who wants this? Who am I underneath this? There's a fear of encountering what those answers are, right? So that's my focus. Or you asked earlier about mindfulness as well, which is baked into everything we do. I can't not mention that I've had a consistent meditation practice for a couple of decades at least that has changed everything about my relationship to change, to anxiety, to my own place in the world and sort of knowing my lane and not taking on more than what is mine and having a more equanimous relationship to the ups and downs. And so that feels to me like such a central part of our mission is to help young people get in touch with their minds so that they can hurt them less. My mind hurts me less than it did when I started to meditate.
That is so important. I want to wrap it up so we don't take up too much of your time today, but I want to just say thank you for sharing your journey, your wisdom. Your company is incredible. I'm so jealous that I didn't know about it when I was going into college or taking a gap year, but I just so appreciate your candor and your ability to articulate how important it is to pursue a life of purpose when you're a young person. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Total honor to be here. Love what you're doing. Obviously, it's just totally, totally aligned with everything I believe the world needs now. So thank you.
Well, we really appreciate it. Before we do wrap, I wanted to ask where people can find you and where they can find Global Citizen Year.
Website, globalcitizenyear.org, across all the social media channels. We've got a round of applications that are open right now for students who are between 17 and 21. We've expanded the age band here a bit, just recognizing that it's everyone's got their own paths and it's not exclusively after high school, but it's somewhere in that developmental moment. So applications for the 2021-22 class of Global Citizen Year experiences are available now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks everyone for listening this week. As per usual, if you have any thoughts or feedback, you can head over to our Instagram at paths2purposepod or on our email paths2purposepod@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Abby, for joining us, and we will see you next week. Bye.